What's it like to work for Tennessee head football coach Josh Heupel? What's the ceiling for Hendon Hooker now as a fifth-year senior? And a whole lot more about Tennessee's offense. We're going to find all that out as Tennessee offensive coordinator Alex Golish joins Locked On Vols here on a Thursday.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome into it. This is Locked On Vols, and I'm your host, Eric Kane. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen and your first watch each and every day. It's on YouTube and wherever you find your podcast. I'm Eric Kane, your host. You can follow this podcast at underscore Kaner on Twitter and at Locked On Vols. And of course, I do radio in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I write for the Rival site covering Tennessee. So I'm all about Tennessee coverage, and today we're going to talk a lot of Tennessee football. I teased it a little bit in yesterday's show. I teased it in the cold open. Tennessee offensive coordinator Alex Golish set to join the show here on a Thursday. Let's not waste any time. Let's get right into my two-part interview. We're going to play part of it here in segment one and finish up in segment two, about 15 minutes worth with Tennessee's offensive coordinator Alex Golish. It starts now. Now you're entering this last phase of the offseason. Okay. So the season ended with the bowl game. You came in, worked out, had spring practice, finished the semester. Now you're back starting summer school, workouts again. How is this phase treating your offensive players? What's the mindset looking like right now?
You know what? I think they've kind of kept the mindset that we left Nashville with, which is we left a lot out there. We got a ton of potential. And the potential's got to come to fruition. They've been working extremely hard. You know, it helps a little bit when you got a leader like Hendon and you're going into an offseason knowing who the guy is. You can kind of put more on him from a leadership standpoint, and he's done a phenomenal job. They've followed, and it's been I don't want to say easier certainly than a year ago, but more directed than it was a year ago.
Yeah, kind of on that sense, is there a sense of comfort now? You're always working. You're always trying to get better. You can always improve. But your guys, you're number two in the system. They know the expectations of the tempo. They know the expectations of their individual workouts and what they do in position drills. Are you kind of sensing that this go around?
Yeah, I think it allows you to really perfect your craft. You know, I think a year ago, you're really trying to teach the system, teach everything you said from tempo to where, how you align to how hard we play to straining and all the things that really essentially can take you to that next level. I think this year you're spending a lot more time really perfecting your craft, perfecting each guy's traits. And we now know what we have. They know what's expected. Now they can continue to just individually get better, which in turn hopefully gets us better as a whole. You're spending a lot less time talking about expectations. You're revisiting expectations, but you're going into a summer where it's a confident group that knows where our deficiencies are and knows where our strengths are. I think as coaches, in the same breath, we know where our deficiencies are. I think as a staff, we're all on the same page, you know, which helps being able to attack those deficiencies. I think as coaches, you inherently always are looking to figure out where you're deficient. I think it's easy to see where you're good or you're proficient or you're able to create explosive plays with certain guys. I think I spend most of my time on things we were not good at a year ago, things we weren't maybe good at in the spring, to try to find answers more so than elaborate on the positives, you know.
So let's talk about the quarterbacks. Obviously, Tennessee, you guys are in a great, great shape. Having Hendon coming back, the production that he was able to put out there last year, his growth in the game and all that. But, you know, and something you just mentioned too, this is his team, and his teammates know this. There's not a quarterback competition. How big of a difference does that make? You know, not to say that he didn't have the team support and all that once he finally got the job last year, but it's kind of a little bit different going in knowing that, hey, I'm the guy, and he's taking on a new leadership stance, I guess.
Yeah, it's definitely different. In a positive, like you said, the guys know it's his team. The guys know where to look if they need guidance. You know, Hendon's still growing in that regard as well. I try to be careful not to totally put it all on him. There's still coaches and still you know, a hierarchy there in terms of where the final word on things come and things come from. But he certainly has taken it by the horns and ran with it. I think that position in general, you know, having Joe back and having him continue to grow and develop, you know, I think sometimes we forget that they're still 18 to 22 years old and still growing as players and as young men, and having Joe in that room, and Joe's taken a huge leadership role. And I've been really, really impressed with what his mindset has been, which is just to continue to get better every single day. There's guys that look at him as a leader as well. I'd say a majority of our team looks at him that way. And the way he's handled it, in a lot of ways, a really, really tough situation. He's handled it, Eric, better than I would have handled it. He's really taken a role of helping Hendon in every way, shape, and form. I mean, when Hendon screws something up, Joe's the first guy there to correct it. When Hendon does something great, Joe's the first guy there, and vice versa. Hendon's been there for Joe. So that room is really, really exciting because you feel like you've got depth. It's really hard to make it through with one guy. You know, we're really excited about the young guys that came in, Taven Jackson particularly. Like, man, he's further ahead than we thought he would be coming in, and he's made huge strides, and I think he's got a really bright future too. So it's an exciting room. It's a really good room, and I think they've just continued to take steps to get better and better. And as coaches for us, we've been able to put more and more on them.
Yeah, more on those two guys. I kind of equate that relationship almost to like an NFL quarterback room. You've got a starter. You also have a backup that's been there. He's been around the league a little bit. He's got some experience, and he knows. And having that extra set of eyes and that knowledge of the game to coach him up and whatnot. And I've heard you say this before, that, and you just said it again, that they're their biggest cheerleaders, biggest critics. I just feel like, is that a fair comparison, that those two guys kind of like an NFL quarterback room?
Yeah, to be fair, I've never been in a quarterback room in the NFL, but
and neither have I.
But I would assume so. I think maybe where it's a little bit different is, and I think this is what's made Joe excel in his growth process, is the fact that Joe has not accepted that role in a personal manner, meaning he's not comfortable with being the backup. I imagine if you're Patrick Mahomes' backup or Aaron Rodgers' backup, you kind of accept it, and that's what it is. I think Joe has continued to attack every day like he's the starter, which is what you have to have for him to continue to make growth. And he's made monumental growth, both as a thrower and as a runner. I think for us, the message has been, you know, leaving the season and then leaving spring, is you got to continue to take huge steps, because there's going to be a time like the Ole Miss game where you're going to have to come in and come win a game for us. And for all the negatives that happened a year ago for Joe, he's worked extremely hard to turn those moments into positive ones.
We're going to have more with Tennessee offensive coordinator Alex Golish here in just a little bit. Good stuff so far, right? Well, we're going to have a little bit more coming up here in just a moment as well. But I want to tell you about those Built Bar Mud Pies, all right? Not sure what mud pie tastes like? Well, if you're a chocolate fan, you better sit down for this, because the new Mud Bar Built Bar, it's whipped cream and chocolate mousse smothered in 100% real chocolates and topped with cookies and cream crumble. You've got to try the new Mud Pie as soon as possible, because you need to hurry, because they're not going to be there for long. They're going to be sold out, and they're only there for a limited time. Visit Built.com right now to come taste the deliciousness for yourself. If you're not convinced yet, listen up right now. Luckily, we saved the best for last, because it's really good for you. No, really, it is. The Built Bar products are low in calories, high in protein, low in sugar. Mud Pie is packed with 16 grams of protein, only 150 calories, and just 8 grams of sugar. It's like your mom baked this little delicious, creamy chocolate mud pie and wrapped it up just to hand to you. It's all that when you unwrap that wrapper. Like all Built Bars, covered in 100% real chocolate, that means you're getting healthy and you're getting something tasty. What's great about Built is that their bars are made with protein, which is, you know, absorbs the body more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits as well. Eat something that tastes good for you and tastes good in the process, right? You're going to love this new Built Bar, the Mud Pie Built Bar and the new Built Puff. Whether you need a snack for after your workout, a late night snack, or just need to grab something quick on the go, Built is the perfect thing for you. It's a protein bar covered in 100% real chocolate, and it is good for you. So try the new Mud Pie Built Bar and Mud Pie Built Bar Puff at Built.com. Go to Built.com right now. Use that promo code LOCK15, and you're going to get 15% off your order. Again, use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off. That's all at Built.com. Welcome back into Locked On Vols, this Thursday show. We've got more with Alex Golish coming up here in just one moment, but guys, one live NBA draft show, it's not enough on Locked On. So the entire NBA channel is going live on NBA Draft Night, which, hey, that's tonight. If you have a favorite NBA team, you need to go ahead right now and subscribe to their Locked On YouTube channel so you get notified when they go live later tonight, the NBA draft. Maybe we'll see Kennedy Chandler likely go somewhere tonight. So go ahead and Locked On NBA YouTube channels for whichever is your favorite team. Now, my second part of the interview with Tennessee offensive coordinator, Alex Golish.
Coach, you got Cedric Tillman coming back on the outside, which is obviously just huge. The step that he took from 1 year to the next last year, having over 1,000 yard receiving, you know, being one of the top wideouts, not only in the SEC, but really the country, and obviously one of the top returning ones coming back. But you lose Javonte Payton, you lose Velus Jones, and those two guys are very critical for what you guys were doing on offense in terms of production and leadership. Replacing those guys took some steps this spring, and obviously looking to continue to take some steps in that regard in fall camp, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think the challenge for Cedric more than anything is just to continue to improve. You know, for him, he's such an internally driven young man that really has had a tough, long career here. He's had a bunch of ups and downs. You know, really wasn't a confident young guy when we got here, and now has his breakout year, and there's naturally at a place like this, specifically Tennessee, now all eyes are on him. And I think this day of college football where now there's Cedric Tillman t-shirts and all these things, where there's a lot of pressure on him to continue to improve. And our conversations, I know Kelsey's conversations with him, Coach Hype's conversations with him have just been continue to improve, continue to be the best version of yourself every single day. Because there's a lot of pressure on him. And I think he thrives within that pressure, doesn't always show it, but he's just kind of the same guy every day. So the hope is he continues to take steps forward. Attacking that room, you know, we're really excited about the three young guys we brought in that all enrolled mid-year. How much they helped this year will be interesting to see, but I think they've got really, really bright futures. Talking Caleb Webb and Chaz Nimrod and Squirrel. I think they all are so different, but they're maybe the three hardest working guys on our offense. Those guys are in here night and day, and watching them grow has been awesome. Obviously we want them to be ready to go. But you want to make sure they're ready before you put them in there. The first thing you want them to do is have success, so there's not a confidence issue moving forward. You know, excited to see Brew as Brew's continuing to get healthy. Excited to see what he is. You know, I think he's excited to see what he is and what he can do. He's shown that he can do a lot of things. I think he can excel in our offense. And we'll find out in August when we really strap it on and go full speed and are able to see, you know, Jalen Hyde's taking giant steps. I think last year was really good for Jalen. He had a lot of ups and he had a lot of downs. And the key with him was to take giant steps off the field, how he approaches every single day, in every aspect of his life. Give Jalen a ton of credit. He's a different human being. He's fun to be around. He's in here working, put good weight on. He's got this big old smile on his face every day. He's excited to be here. I don't know if that was the case a year ago, to be honest with you, with him. And, you know, and then seeing guys like Jimmy Holiday continue to take steps and Jimmy Callaway continue to take steps. Walker Merrill continue to take steps. You know, it's been exciting to see those guys. I think when you graduate guys, super productive guys, especially like Bayless, Javonte, I think those guys see so much potential in the ability, like, man, there's two spots open here. How do I make headway there? And then obviously we played Cedric a lot a year ago. It certainly would be great to be able to give him a breather, and Ramel Keaton taking another step. You know, so I think when there's jobs open, there's inherently, you always talk about competition, but there's inherently a elephant in the room, basically the two spots that are open. And so those guys have worked extremely hard. I think Kelsey Pope has done a really, really good job. There was no transition period with him. That was a luxury in keeping Kelsey here, was that there was no transition. It was really, really smooth. And those guys love him and love working with him every day. So I'm excited to see what they are. There's going to be some growing pains early. You know, that's the anxiety for me, is to get through those growing pains. But we'll see as we go. Again, challenge to them, just like Cedric and just like Hendo and these guys, is just continue to come to work every day and be the best version of yourself every day. And that's really hard to do, Eric, especially in January, February, March, where there's no light at the end of the tunnel. You know, we're in mid-June and it still feels like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. So the challenge to them is just continue to work and grind through it and continue to really enjoy the process. And I can honestly tell you that receiver room, they've enjoyed the process of getting better every single day.
Yeah, one more note on Jalen, as you kind of were speaking on Jalen Hyatt, he was very candid with us in the media this spring and, you know, saying that he's taken steps to get better every single day, and he's put in the work. And so I'm excited to see what he can do this fall, without a doubt. I got two more questions for you, and I'm very excited about them. We'll let you get out the door. I know you're busy, but not only are you the offensive coordinator, but you're also the tight ends coach. And one of my favorite positions on the football field is the tight end, because you can do so many different things with them. What's the expectation for that group, specifically led by two veterans, Jacob Warren and Princeton Fant, this upcoming season?
Yeah, Eric, you know, not to sound like a broken record on this one, but to just get better, continue to perfect their craft. We do so much with those guys. We move them around all over the place. Jacob and Princeton are uniquely different in their skill sets. So calling a game with those two guys in there at different times is fun, because you can do certain things with one that you can't really do with the other. I think Jacob has had a phenomenal offseason, putting weight on, continue to grow in his role, gotten better running routes. I think he's always had really, really comfortable, solid hands. I think he's just continued to excel there. I think he is what you would hope a fifth-year guy would look like now. I thought a year ago he didn't look that way. I think he just kind of tried to get through it, because it was all happening really fast for him. But I think he's really taken this offseason. He's taken a huge leadership role on our team. Really, really smart kid that when you explain his deficiencies to him and then give him a plan of how to get better, he's really taken it and run with it. Princeton, I think in the same breath, everything was happening really fast for him a year ago too. I think relatively new position. It was his second year really playing tight end. Didn't play just a ton the year before, didn't have a ton of production. I think last year went to him a lot in some critical situations. He made some plays, he didn't make other plays. And for Princeton, it was a matter of getting his body right and playing hard consistently. I think he's had a huge offseason. He's up to 246. Feels really comfortable there, has been really healthy, running extremely well. I think he sees that void with Valus as an opportunity to get the ball in his hands more. I know we do as coaches see it in the same breath, where some of that ball in hand, third down type, got to fall forward for a couple of yard type plays. I think Princeton is seeing that could be me. That should be me. So Princeton's had a really good offseason. And again, year two in a system, now you're not teaching them how to play. They can actually go perfect their craft and what they're doing. You know, Miles Campbell, I'm excited about. I was excited about Miles last fall camp. And in a lot of ways, freshman year hit Miles right square in the face. And it does that to some people. And he wasn't mature enough to handle it a year ago. He's had a good offseason. He's a really exciting guy because he's kind of like the best of Jacob and the best of Princeton. So what can he do? You know, last year we really felt like we were going into every game with two. Hunter Salmon kind of helped us get through some of those games and some bigger packages. I never felt like we could play in 12 personnel because I was so afraid if one got hurt, we'd be out of luck. And as soon as one got hurt, the package was gone. I've been excited to play in some more 12, do some unique things. Certainly gives you a lot more formation variation when you could play in 12 personnel. And so we've been plugging at that. Really excited with having a third with Miles Hunter taking another step and having Charlie Browder here and watching his growth. I think as we build that room, I think we're going to continue to get more athletic and get more complete in that room. Really excited about, you know, a young man coming in next year. Like, I think we're building it the right way, and I'm excited to see what the room looks like this fall.
Absolutely. I think everybody's excited to see kind of what that room and really what this entire offense looks like in year number two. I know you're a busy man. I know you got to get to the lake at some point, but what is out the door? And you don't have to be super long on this if you don't have the time, but what's it like? This is now entering year three for you with Josh Heupel. What's it like coaching and being around Josh Heupel every day?
Yeah. You know, Josh is fun to be around. He loves football in general, super, super, super competitive. So everything is a competition all the time. So that's fun. Keeps you on your toes. I think just really unique for him 2 years ago to bring a guy in that wasn't in the system and really spent a ton of time with me, teaching me how he saw it, and still understanding and respecting that I probably see it drastically different. And then coming together with thoughts and ideas that can help us score points at the end of the day. You know, he sees it very much through a quarterback lens. And he also unique a little because he's coached tight ends in the past. So he sees it from a couple of different angles, but he played the quarterback spot. I very honestly did not play the quarterback spot. And so I ask a lot of questions to Hype and Joey, because I'll have some ideas sometimes that maybe a little bit are out there. And then they're like, hey, you know, man, first of all, how much time do you think the quarterback maybe has back there? And man, that's not really physically possible. So I'll get a couple of those every now and again, but I see it through a different lens. I see it in a lot of ways through a defensive lens and how defenses attack us. And so it's a really good combination, but Josh has always enjoyed the football part. I think as we've transitioned here, there's less time for football than probably any head coach in this conference would agree that they would like to spend on with the recruiting and the other obligations that come with coaching at a place like this. So I appreciate his trust factor, his trust in me and our staff to constantly be ready and rocking and rolling. But it's, to me, he's such a competitive, confident guy that he feeds that into me, you know, you're in the middle of a game a lot of time and he'll be like, hey, you're on it, man. You're on it. You know, he'll kind of encourage you with it. So for me, he's been incredible. Always there to answer questions, always there to give you his opinion. Sometimes lead you to see it the way he sees it. And 99% of the time he's right. And if he doesn't feel like he's got the right answer, he'll always take input and hear me out in that same light. But I think we work really well together because there's such a huge mutual respect there. He's the hardest working guy in this building and I try to keep up with him on that part of it. And like I said, the competitiveness is where it's fun to be around, because in everything we do, there you're either winning or you're losing, and treat recruiting that way. Treat how our kids play and how they respond to us. There's just such a positive culture right now with him leading that, and he's taken so much time to be in charge of that, but hold us accountable for that, that I think the kids have seen that, that, that there's a positivity around our staff. There's a positivity around our culture, and all the credit for that goes to Josh, because he's fed that into us, fed that into the players, and they've really enjoyed being around him. You know, he spent so much more time over the last year with the defensive guys and making sure they understand that, that he's also their coach. And so I think he, just his growth in that part, that he's just really enjoyed being around everybody, you know, even the special teams, like he's coaching the heck out of every single one of those drills. And he's been fun to be around, man. He the pressure doesn't get to him. He's been in these moments. There's innate pressure that comes with this job, thanks to guys like you and this incredible fan base. And I think he's handled it extremely well. It hasn't changed who he is. I think he's just continued to get better in what he sees as his role.
All right, we're going to tie a bow on this show here on Locked On Vols, a Thursday edition, and really awesome stuff there from Alex Golish. Really appreciative of his time. I know they're busy even in this month, which is considered, well, July is really the slower month before they start ramping up for a fall camp in August. But, you know, I know there's a lot of recruiting going on right now. They've been hosting camps. They're always recruiting, always working the phone, still managing the team that's on campus right now to a certain extent, of course. But so appreciative for his time and to, you know, spend 10 to 15 minutes with me. You're hearing this on Locked On Balls podcast. I'm going to write a story about it, ballquest.com. We'll have it over there as well. So I really, really appreciate him. Hopefully we will get more assistance, if not maybe another coordinator here in the very near future. So really, really appreciative of that. Hey, let's go ahead. Final thoughts here on this Thursday show. Let's go back to our starter spotlight. We discussed Darnell Wright's 2 days ago. We discussed Javonte Spraggins yesterday. Now we're continuing to work, you know, down that offensive line right to left. And we're at the center position, and it's Cooper Mays. We're continuing to work through the offense, saving the best for obviously last, that being Hendon Hooker, the quarterback. This is a mini series I'm doing here in the summer months. Hope you guys are enjoying it when I'm giving you, you know, just some intel on the presumed starter at said position. Again, quickly, little recap here. Started with Cedric Tillman. We know if he's healthy, he's going to be a starter. We went Jalen Hyatt and Brew McCoy, talking about the two other wide receivers. Those are the presumed starters come football season. Things can change, but obviously those were the presumed starters. And then, you know, the same with the tight ends. Talked about Jacob Warren, but Princeton fan's going to be in that conversation. And then now working our way down the offensive line. We're now to Cooper Mays at center. I think there's no doubt about it. Last year, he missed a lot of time. He was battling a high ankle sprain. And for those of you guys that have never dealt with an ankle injury to that degree, a high ankle sprain, they say that a lot of times you're better off breaking your ankle than having a high ankle sprain, because the healing time, especially if it's a clean break, is so much quicker. And plus, you don't linger on with that type of pain. A high ankle sprain is very, very tough to get over. It's very, very tough to play through. And that's something that Cooper Mays is dealing with all last season. But there's no doubt about it. I think that, you know, when Cooper Mays was in the starting lineup for Tennessee, this offense was completely different. Or maybe I should say this offensive line was completely different. First and foremost, you have your guard, Jerome Carvin, a senior guy who is capable of playing center. And I think he does a decent job at playing center, but he's not a center. You know, Tennessee, that's something that we'll get into more as we do our position previews later in the summer. Tennessee's got to create some depth big time. And creating depth on the offensive line, especially at the center position, is going to be crucial because, again, when Cooper Mays was not in that lineup, you're taking one of your better offensive linemen, Jerome Carvin, and moving him to a position that is not his natural position, thus having to put somebody else into a starting lineup. It's almost like you're losing two starters, in my opinion. But that's the case Tennessee was in last year, and they were not comfortable playing Parker Ball. They were not comfortable playing Ollie Lane at center. They were not comfortable playing any of the other options they had at the center position last year. That's why you saw Addison Nichols get a lot of run at center in the spring. You know, Addison Nichols said, "Hey, I've never snapped a football until now. That's what he told us when he met with the media in spring, and so it was all new to him. And the scrimmage that I was at, the one that was open, it was not pretty. He had a lot of high snaps. But again, those are growing pains that come with moving to center. I mean, again, hashtag Uncle Rico, got to say it all the time because people will call me out talking about the glory days. That's not what I'm doing. But I've snapped a football before. I played center in high school, and there's so much you have to worry about. I mean, the snap, first and foremost, you got to learn how to snap and step at the same time. You got to learn that you start the calling. Like, you set everything from that zero through play side gap. Oftentimes I say zero through play side gap. Well, zero is head of the center, okay? And so you start the counting. You need to say linebacker, middle linebacker, that's one. You know, the right guard will say, okay, this three technique, that's two. Outside backer, that'll be three. This five technique, that's four. And so when you're in man protection up there, you know, you're calling your man out there, but it all starts with the center. A lot of times the center will change the protection schemes. A lot of times the center will change the blocking assignments. And so it's a head game. You're the captain out there. So not only do you have to secure a snap, and in this offense, you have to take care of the shotgun snap every single play, but you are what everybody goes off of. And in this offense, okay, you set the tempo. You are literally setting the tempo because the offense can't go until you get the football, you give it to the official sets the football, you get on it, and then they can snap the football. You set the tempo. And I think, nothing against Jerome Carvin, the tempo was not where it needed to be when he was playing center last year. And truth be told, when Cooper Mays came back, especially those first couple of games, the tempo was still not where it needed to be because he was still playing injured. So, but regardless, I think from a blocking perspective, from a run blocking perspective, even from a pass protection perspective, the offensive line looked more crisp, looked more as a unit, looked more functional when Cooper Mays was at center. So I think that Cooper Mays is one of the most important players in this in total offense, in this in total team, right? I mean, sure, Hendon Hooker, sure, Cedric Tillman, absolutely. Jabari Small, the run game is important. Darnell Wright, you know, playing a tackle position is important. Who's going to play left tackle? But Cooper Mays is very, very important. So Cooper Mays needs to stay healthy. He absolutely does. He's dealt with some nagging injuries throughout his career. The high ankle sprain last year that caused him to miss a whole lot of time. And, I mean, he's gutsy. He is tough. He will go out there and he will give it everything he can possibly give it for as long as he can possibly give it. Was it Florida? Was it the Florida game where he got hurt and he was limping and he was limping and he was limping and he was not giving you much, but he was trying to stay out there because he knows if he goes out of the game, what Tennessee's going to have to do to overcompensate for that. So, I admire his toughness, his admiration to be in there with his guys. You just kind of hope that he didn't have to deal with those type of injuries this year. Cooper Mays is also a little bit undersized. I mean, you look at, I was a little wary about going to the Georgia game whenever, you know, Cooper Mays is sitting at probably about 6'1", 6'2", you know, about 200, maybe 95, maybe he's at 300 now, going up against a guy in a first round draft pick on there, that defensive line that's, you know, just freaking fantastic for Georgia now. And some of those other guys on the defensive line, you know, it's a big boy league, right? But, I mean, he held his own at points and times this season. Also, he's good at scooping, getting off to the second layer of the defense, and cutting off a linebacker. So, I think Cooper Mays is very, very important. I think Tennessee's got a good center, especially in this offense. I think Cooper's very, very fit to be in this offense. I think this is the type of offense that really fits his skill set as a center. So, very important player. Injuries are a concern, as they always are, so you hope that this offseason he's built up some duration, he's built up those muscles to help him combat those injuries, and we'll see what happens. But Tennessee with Cooper Mays at center is much, much better than Tennessee with Jerome Carvin at center, and that's nothing against Jerome Carvin, it's just point blank. You're a guard, you're not a center. So we'll have to see exactly what that entails this upcoming football season. We'll move on with the starter spotlight over to Jerome Carvin, that left guard, coming up next on a Friday edition of Locked On Vols. Plus, you know, maybe some more interviews. We'll have to see exactly what's in store for the rest of the week. But again, big thanks to Alex Gullish for making an appearance on the show. Thankful for his time, and for Bill Martin at UT Athletic Department, Athletic Communications, for making that happen. Very appreciative of that, and hope to have him on the show once again in the very near future. All right, we'll continue along with this week's worth of shows. That's going to do it here for a Thursday. Can't thank you guys enough for making Locked On Vols your first listen. The first picks of the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft, again, they've been made. Search now for the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft and get over 50 insiders of Odyssey Sports Experts and the draft experts of the Locked On NBA Big Board. The 5-episode Ultimate NBA Mock Draft, it's underway right now. You know what's coming up tonight. Make Ultimate NBA Mock Draft your second listen today, right after Locked On Vols, which, of course, is your first listen and watch on YouTube each and every day. Guys, thanks so much. Really appreciate you guys for being here today. And, hey, let's do it again tomorrow on a Friday. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday, everybody.